May the Lord help us to commence our week evening service by singing hymn number 27. Hymn number 27, I'll read the first two verses, we'll commence at verse 3. But hymn number 27, to the tune Trentham, verse 73. Come, Holy Spirit, come, let thy bright beams arise, dispel the darkness from our minds, and open all our eyes. Cheer our desponding hearts, thou heavenly Paraclete. Give us to lie with humble hope at our Redeemer's feet. Hymn number 27, commencing at verse 3 to the tune Trentham 73.
Soon we fall to come. we'll read together from his holy word in the Gospel of John and read chapter 16. The Gospel recorded by John and chapter 16. The 16th chapter in the Gospel of John. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman shall, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and I go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou comest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come. Ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of that portion of his holy word, and help us and teach us to pray. Most kind and gracious and merciful Lord God Almighty, we do pray thy help now to bow before thee in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, thou Spirit of grace would descend and come according to the petition of the hymn, and be present amongst us to pour upon us the Spirit of grace and of supplications, and that we by that blessing might behold thee, Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, in thy heavenly glory, great high priest in thy heavenly throne, upon the throne of grace interceding, and through thee we might approach unto the Father with reverence and with godly fear, pleading for thy great name's sake that thou wouldst have mercy upon us, that we might bow in worship and glorify thy great and holy name, that we are gathered here around thy word at this time, and in our circumstances that we gather under, and we think of thy dear servant and his dear one who'd hope to be here ministering this evening. Do go into his household and into his situation, his heart and his place, and be with him, we pray thee, and do a wall of fire round about him, and that glory in the midst, that all that is needful might be done of thee in strengthening, upholding and restoring mercies, and that thy presence may go with them together. Thou hast given them rest, that they might hear that word that we have read, O Lord, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so we desire to hear that in our hearts this evening, we pray thee. O Lord, we are oft in that dispirited place, and O Lord, sunk in our fears. But oh, might there be something of thy resurrection power for us as we gather once more together, all in the knowledge of thyself who has ordered these things, that though we have only lately known of this, yet so we come in thy fear and in dependence upon thee, and seeking thou hast revealed thyself, Lord Jesus, we pray, as one in our midst, fulfilling thine own word and promise to gather in the midst of those that gather, even the twos and the threes. And so, dear Lord, be present with us in our gathering in the house of God here, and each who gathers home online, and let's see, relayed service, O Lord, wheresoever it goes, whether nearby here to the present congregation, O Lord, or to others farther off. Lord, do enter into each heart and each soul, that we together might be of good cheer, for thou hast overcome the world. Lord, thou knowest the world of sin that is within us, and of our doubts and fears and unbelief, and all that there without thee will destroy us forevermore, and bring us afar off and not near. But might we prove, O Lord, that thine overcoming power is with us to draw us near to thee, and to give us that desire to worship thee, to pour out our hearts together in humble prayer and supplication, to give thanks unto thee for thy continued sparing mercies that thou dost maintain to us in our pathways, in the measure of strength and health that thou dost afford, whether it is quite limited as it is with thy dear servant that is dear at this time, Lord, enabling us to come, O Lord, in that way that we are appointed, Lord, or each detained through afflictions, and Lord, do make one in that midst also, we pray thee. Lord, dear, be ever present, we do beseech of thee, and command thy blessing as we read those truths of thy word. We do pray to hear what thou art speaking, most gracious Lord Jesus. And as thou hast asked us that question this evening, that thou didst ask thy disciples, do ye now believe? No, Lord, thou knowest all that we have passed through in our pathways, and even this day, and do we now believe in thee? Oh Lord, have we that humble hope and that vital work of thy Spirit wrought in our hearts of thee, that we believe in thee, the only true God, and thyself, Lord Jesus, the sent Saviour, oh, that wonderful gift of eternal life that thou dost go on to pray for. Dear Lord Jesus, to bring this evidence to us each, we pray thee, that our humble hope and trust is in thee, who alone art able. And so could it please thee to be thy will to be present with us, enlarging our hearts, we pray, in the gospel of thy grace, enabling us, O Lord, to worship thee, we pray thee. So do come and favour the dear gathering of the people here, we pray, as they come week by week and service by service, bless the families of the little ones and who's detained at home with them, and the young friends who have come this evening, Lord, remember them each and be with them and help them in their pathways. Grant the hand that sanctifies in each pathway that we are set in, we pray thee. And as we need much to be taught in those low places, but also where we are sustained of thee and kept by thy power, that we may not lose sight of thee, whose mercy is affording this benefit, and that thou wouldst give us strength equal to the day, where there is afflictions and bringing low, and oft, O Lord, in a very low place, Lord, an everlasting arms are underneath to uphold and help. And what help thou hast granted thus far, thus would ever raise the Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Lord, do help the deacons, they labour here together, we pray, thy friend that bears our responsibility and care, and help him in his pathway. Service by service here, we pray thee. to my servant going forth in his ministry and labours, that light and liberty and that blessing in the gospel, that renew of strength in all the way they would set him in. That out of his weakness I always make strong, we do beseech of thee. And so bless each, O Lord, in their path of weaknesses and fears, with that renewed strength and thy upholding mercy, we do pray thee. And those each where they are found deceiving in other places, one away in his studies, do watch over also in that pathway, and then thy blessing there also, we pray thee. That, Lord, we might be blessed to unite together, all together as one, seeking unto thee, Lord Jesus, to unite with those who gather in thy name, also in the house of God, O Lord, thy servants ministering, and thy people that come up in that same desire as we come, O Lord, we would see Jesus, we'd lose sight of one another, see only thee, be like thy disciples in the mount, see no man, save Jesus only. Gracious Lord, then do bless us in this way, O Lord, as others unite together for worship, that their cries and their sighs might be heard of thee, thy word may go forth in thy great power, thy blessing and anointing might be present, we do beseech of thee, that there might be much done in thy great and holy name this evening, we do pray thee, to the pulling down of strongholds and to the building of the walls of Zion, that we might know that day of refreshing and reviving, a turning of the hearts of sinners unto thee, those that live around about this hill of Zion here, we pray, in the town of Maystone, may there be many wrought upon, and those that we would pray for around each of our little hills of Zion. Lord, who pass by the doors, you see the coming and going. Oh, may yet be such who turn to thee, and then how soon thou art turning to thee, and who may yet listen unto the services, and may they yet desire to come in, O Lord, and be blessed in their coming, we do beseech of thee. Lord, to hear thy voice and the feeling sense of thy presence in the house of God here, we pray thee. Lord, bless and build up the gathering of the friends here in church and in congregation, we pray thee. Set their souls at liberty who long after thee, and bring in those pathways of thy tender mercy and great love. That there might be a building of the church here, we pray, and that reviving of thy work in the hearts of each one, we pray, that encouraging in the Lord their God. And the pouring forth of thy Spirit from on high. Oh, until the Spirit be poured forth from on high. Oh, then alone we remain in the wilderness, but O Lord, may that wilderness a fruitful place. And so may it be even so this evening, thou art pouring the Spirit forth from on high. Lord, both to us as we gather here, and each where they are found, in the hearts yet that we know not of. And thou art turning out of the ways of evil, wandering ones afar off, in their hearts and pathways, that they might be turned to thee, the Lord God of their fathers, the Lord God of their present mercies. May there be yet many in this day, O Lord, that are being wrought upon of thee to turn to thee, and bring us ever in that way of humble repentance and godly sorrow over sins, that mourning in our closets, and, O Lord, in secret before thee, that thou as yet bring to pass those blessings openly, such as where we are not in our closets as we ought to be, and not in that pathway, O Lord, that thou hast commanded. So, dear Lord, do and bless those things that are done, as thou dost know them all. And so yield thy blessing upon us in the nation, turn the hearts of our rulers and those in our royal household, and king and queen when they are in the far off land of Australia at this time, to preserve them safe there in a place they meet with hostilities, and keep the people of that nation, O Lord, yet loyal unto the throne if it is thy will. But then knowest how we deserve that such things should be separated, and O Lord, what are we in an example of a very poor one, O Lord, and not one that is setting forth the gospel truth as we ought to do. Lord, do you touch the hearts then and those in high places to ponder these things, to leave not to go in the ways of evil, we pray thee, to deny thee and to lift up that spirit of sin and self, that we see a great solemn influence in this day of darkness. Dear Lord, of persecution for thy people that fear thee. Lord, they that thou hast warned us of in thy word that we have read together. Lord, do come into the midst of it all, we pray thee. And grant that thy voice might be heard, that voice that calls us to follow thee, to keep close unto thee and to thy word, we pray thee. and to seek thy Spirit might pour out thy blessing upon it. So, most gracious Lord, do lead us into thy truth this evening, and open our eyes to behold those wondrous things out of thy law. That our hearts may truly rejoice in thee, whose mercy endureth forever, whose long suffering and sparing mercies are lengthened out to us in our time together this evening. So we ask thy blessing in the hymns, O Lord, that there might be praise, honour and glory unto thee. And O Lord, those petitions laid up in them might be answered of thee. And O Lord, thy name in all things have the preeminence. O do mercifully forgive and pardon, we pray, all that thou seest amiss. O wash us and make us clean. And give us that heart of true thankfulness for all thy gracious goodness and mercy. Hear us and help us, and receive us graciously. For we ask alone for thy great name's sake. Lord Jesus, amen.
And further singing hymn number 906 to Tune Helton 808. Hymn number 906. Oh, where shall I find a guide to direct, right skillful and kind and brave to protect? To lovely Mount Zion my heart is now bound, but many a lion is in the way found. 'Tis Jesus can teach the way ye should go, and out his arm reach to help you unto. The doubts that perplex you, the fears that distress, the tempers that vex you, his grace can redress. Hymn number 906 to Tune Helton 808.
the Lord shall be pleased to help me this evening, I seek to direct your prayerful thoughts to a text you'll find in the chapter we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, and then the last part of the last verse, verse 33, the last clause of it. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The 33rd verse in chapter 16 of the Gospel of John, especially that very last clause of it, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. These words are part then of this message of the Lord Jesus Christ. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Well, may the Holy Ghost himself come and cheer our hearts with that needful presence of the Lord Jesus. For that will be everything to us and be an overcoming blessing of all of our fears, of all that this expression means of the world. The world of sin in our hearts, the world of doubts and fears, of our unbelief, and of literal enemies, of course, out in the world that are an adversary to the Lord and to his people, that our dear Redeemer has verily conquered. Here, the Lamb of God, about to lay down his life in suffering and shedding his blood, sealing this promise and this word with his own heart's blood, really is speaking already of the glorious power of his resurrection as an overcoming almighty power that is his. And how wonderfully then those graces of faith, hope and love are given so to be overcoming graces, conquering graces in the Lord's hand, and by his strength and mercy made all sufficient to us. The people of God throughout the generations of this earth then have come into those times of sorrow and despair, perplexity and fear, and have ever needed the word of God to comfort their hearts. No doubt in a natural way they have sought to comfort one another and lift up the spirits of one another. Where this matter of sorrow then is of heart, as we read of it concerning Hannah, or even of Nehemiah then, as he knew about the destinations of Zion, of Jerusalem. What a sorrow of heart those things were, and what sort of sorrow then has been the hearts of his dear people over the years, that deep spiritual matter of indwelling sin, of the broken law of God. It is only then the word of God himself that can give us some good cheer. And thereby he has spoken those many exceeding great and precious promises to be of good cheer to the soul. It might be, as this word good cheer really means, to be cheerful or full of hope, to be of a good courage, to be encouraged in the strength that God is, and to be indeed a good comfort. Not lose sight of the great power of himself, who clearly promises the gift of the Holy Ghost again in these words that we have read together, that though he would leave, being their present comforter, refers that to us in John in the 14th chapter, he will send you another comforter. He of course was so much comfort and courage and cheer to them, as he was immediately present with them. But they would have to know that bodily separation, and that these things would be by faith in their hearts. They will be yet more, as it were, powerful through that gift of the Holy Ghost, because they would not be relying on what their own eyes saw, but what the grace of faith have as in view. The Lord Jesus in heaven, a risen, exalted Saviour. And if in our hearts this evening, in that humble faith, it is of the Lord, and he is of the Lord, if it is a humble faith, we are to feel it and speak of it. What a glorious faith it is, because it comes from the risen one, the dear Son of God, and ever views him, and is given that good cheer by those clear views that it gives of the soul. Breaks through, as it were, all the doubts and fears and the spirit of ourself. And often we read in the Old Testament the word of the Lord that was of a good cheer to his people. Really, of course, we read it in Hebrews 11 with the Apostle Paul, who was brought into this blessing and knowledge of the truth, speaks of it in the wonderful gift of faith being what gave those before a good report. What in the eyes of the Lord was a blessing when they viewed the unseen things that were surely eternal and ever the same and were a great reality to them. And it was in that spirit then he refers to what Abel was to do, the sacrifice he made, which of course in the path of faith was to cost him his life. And so it would be likewise with Noah, who being a faithful servant of God would show that great faith in following the word of God. And the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Enoch, the man that walked with God, what a wonderful grace, faith was in his heart to be of good cheer, even that we read there that he pleased God. And so we read such a word as this then given to Joshua, that was to strengthen his heart with courage, as he was, the Lord would promise him to be with him as he was with Moses before him. This was to be of his good cheer. So shall I be with thee. Only be very courageous, very strong in this spirit then of hope and faith and love in the Lord. Though he faced so many impossibilities and difficulties, yet his heart could be of good cheer in all that God was to him and what he was encouraging him by saying to him. I know that we have the ear of the sheep here this evening that hears then this voice of the Lord to be of good cheer. It is not a false hope, a false confidence. It is set before us in this context that in the world ye shall have tribulation, that the world that the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome knows its time is yet to come when it must never perish, the spirit of it, the devil himself. And therefore he rages against all that are blessed with this grace of hope in the Lord. They seek to know the blessing of this assurance of their hearts, this good cheer, this gracious comfort, this strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore they vent their enmity and bring into sore trials and great tribulation. And though that be so in enmity on the account of the devil, yet the Lord sees fit to use such things to be a means of grace in his hand, to try our faith, to see whether our spirit is being of good cheer in the face of all the impossibility that that brings. He knows how needfully it will bring us low and into much of that felt sorrow. The Lord Jesus Christ clearly referred to it concerning his own disciples, that ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. So the true sense of this word and the blessing of it is that we are to walk the way of the veil of tears, Baker's veil itself, but as that veil of tears is spoken of in Psalm 84, he maketh it well, he refreshes the soul even in those low places, out of those depths and with those many fears. And ye shall be sorrowful. Verse 20, of course, expresses the world rejoicing. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. What an opposite spirit then is found in the living soul and the dead soul. The professing soul and the possessing soul. Oh, what a rejoicing is in the spirit of sin and self, even if many that have not a possession of truth and righteousness. And yet the possession of a living soul, given the grace of life, has great cause to mourn over sin and self and all our hearts that go so readily astray, sink in unbelief, and lose sight of the glorious Redeemer who speaks in this wonderful way. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. They would not find this place of comfort in themselves, by themselves. It would be his gift to them in the face of the raging spirit then of the world, world without and the world within. All that is against us, and they fear then in their lives outwardly, and all that we sorrow over inwardly. A little faith, a few evidences of this great blessing. But that does not take away the surety of it, the God that declares it. As this word in the face of all that that is, but. That does not alter this divine certainty. But. Oh, what a blessed but then we have here. But. In the face of then what we deserve to be destroying us, casting us away, what a mercy he declares, that in me ye might have peace. Really, of course, this portion opens and closes with that same expression, these things have I spoken unto you. These things have I spoken unto you. In the first place, it was that word to warn against the path of much tribulation that the world is to bring forth, and that we are to experience to be separate of the world, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, the time cometh when whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, that because they have not known the Father nor me. You know, to see there where there is not a true saving knowledge then of the living God, longing to worship and to know God, and be in this spirit then of God's conquering grace, what ignorance then it leaves us in that zealous spirit then of self-righteousness, of religious self, which really of course we find so much expressed in the accounts that we have of the Pharisees and the scribes, which you might think of one even sort of Tarsus who thought he did the Lord's will and the Lord's work in killing those that love the Lord Jesus Christ, who verily brought about these very things that Christ speaks of here, that must have entered the hearts of those disciples when they heard of his conversion. You know how he speaks to them, they should not be offended, that such a one wrought upon of the Holy Ghost and made a child of the Lamb of God, a living soul, they should not be offended to pray for that such a one, to walk with such a one in the divine grace. What a word it is for us also, that those that may at the present then seem to be so much against us in their spirit, yet by the grace of God we are to be of good cheer, is overcoming grace and converting sinners, the wandering ones to be returning ones. You should not be offended at how he saves to the uttermost, and calls publicans and sinners, Pharisees and scribes, whomsoever he will, to be those in his kingdom of grace. And where are we in that kingdom of grace? Are we offended because of the characters that he calls by grace, that he unites in his fear? We will not be a part of such a people or such a persons that are called and seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. What a searching of heart there is to be in these truths that Christ speaks. He sought, as he did through this whole discourse that we have from the 13th of John, recording it, that they should show that brotherly love, that spirit of Christ in a practical way, in love one to another. That it was not just to be something that John later writes of, a love then that was only in word, but a love that was in deed and in truth. Not just to be something they professed or had a head knowledge of, but what they walked in their hearts and lives. And this is where that grace is a needful matter to us, that it separates out then what is false and what is true, as to where we are then before the Lord this evening. And really the Lord Jesus Christ, he is set a hedge, as it were, about all of this experience of faith in the soul. He gave that to John to record in the opening of John 13, that beautiful expression, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And throughout what we read in those chapters that follow, and through this chapter, of course, even to the following one of the divine intercession, which seals, of course, this great good cheer then of the soul, to embolden the soul in faith, that all that the Lord Jesus Christ has prayed for that must be fulfilled, that we so fail under in our own prayers, our own thoughts, our own desires, and yet it is set about then with loving its beginning, loving its end. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You see how wonderfully he emphasizes that sacred oneness between himself and the Father, and the souls of his dear people in and through himself in the Father. That most glorious and great mystery of godliness, of our Lord Jesus Christ becoming a man, and therefore bringing the souls and hearts of his dear people in and through himself into that divine union that cannot be broken. That where faith shines upon it and gives an assurance, what a good cheer that is to our hearts. That though we walk in a wilderness way as it is, and feel off then to be much in a lonely matter, that the Lord Jesus Christ, and he speaks in that 32nd verse, behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is come, when ye shall be scattered. He had spoken of a time when he would leave and then come again. Now he shows in that time that they should leave him, before he, as it were, should leave them, those 3 days and nights as he laid in his life upon Calvary. Though, as it were, they were to be gone from him, they were to follow afar off, to be those that would leave him alone. That great matter in the purposes of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, should suffer alone, should be one without the aid of any other. And yet, verily, we have a glimpse as he speaks there of that glorious unity then of the Trinity. Every man to his own. And ye shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. That glorious truth of the one God can never be destroyed. Oh, what a good cheer for our hearts this evening then, that the wonders of the living God then ever continue. That he ever liveth. He is almighty. He is the all-powerful one. He appoints such weaklings and helpless souls to be in union as one with himself, to be of himself, dwelling in them. And especially that last clause that you read there in the 26th verse of chapter 17, the end of that interceding prayer, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Oh, what a wonderful glory that is of the love of the Father and the Son. That as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, we read in chapter 15. What a wonder is in that truth, that as he, the beloved Son, the only begotten Son, oh, is so one with his Father, loved of his Father, so as he loved his dear people, poor lost sinners, that they should be of good cheer. And it is when we have a precious glimpse of that, we are then in this way of good cheer. We know that our Jews are not so. We sink then in great misery. And therefore we know great sorrows and have many fears. And therefore feel that we are full then of weakness and helplessness. Courage is fled, as it were. And all these things seem to be just so remote and far away, beyond our hope anymore. Oh, what a mercy then the great I Am that He is has overcome all that seems to overcome us. The great purpose of His coming to the earth to lay down His life under divine wrath, deserving to us poor sinners forever, that He might liberate our hearts from that divine sentence of wrath. And therefore, what a vital knowledge we need then of our hearts' sins has been laid upon Him, that He indeed has laid in His life under that divine wrath, become the curse. These things that He was to go on to do. It's really, of course, when we read the narrative then of the path of His sufferings, His apprehension, and His enmity of sinners against Him, which the Apostle Paul refers to as having endured it, contradiction of sinners against Himself, the false accusations, the things that man would call the examinations of the Lord Jesus. It's really, of course, for only the persecution of Him. He could not be examined. He is wholesome truth and righteousness in every way, a spotless lamb, but appointed to be slain. He was overcoming the world. He was being come subject to the enmity of sinners and of the devil against Himself, and what the wrath of His Father was there to vent upon His dear people, that He would lovingly bear it all and seemingly be overcome by it in His own death, as He cried with that loud voice, "It is finished." And He declared in that word, "Into thy Father, in thy hand I commend my spirit." Oh, He gave up the ghost. He laid down His life. But how He reminds us and teaches us in His own words that He had the power, the authority, the overcoming power that would lay down that life. At that set time, when every sin He received the punishment for was to be blotted out, dealt with, paid for, and the souls of those sinners might be set free. And so much more than that glorious resurrection that declares of His overcoming the world, coming forth the mighty victorious conqueror. But for our hearts this evening, and what need we have then of this truth to be wrought out in our hearts by the Spirit, but be of good cheer. It is He who indeed is this source and blessing, the great love then that He is loved with and loves His dear people with, that we might be that they may be in, I may in them and they in me. The love with which Thou hast loved me may be in them. Oh, wonder of wonders indeed that glorious love He is loved with of the Father is in the soul of the poor sinner. And wheresoever then that is entered in, it gives us assurance that He is there. Christ indwelling, what really He referred to when He answered the question of Judas inquiring as a disciple, how was it indeed that the blessings of God were revealed and given to them and not to the world? Or was it so that this was their benefit? What was it that set them apart? Oh, what a way the Lord Jesus Christ answered it. He answers it in every way concerning the fruit of what then He is doing. He declares of the fruit then of love, which is obedience. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Oh, the wonder of a man loving us, the Almighty God, is that God loves him first, and therefore we love him in return. What a good cheer that is, that He is that originator, that roots and power of love, what an overcoming of the word love is, from God to the soul. Where it brings forth the blessing of his presence. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Where he speaks of the fruit and then the revealed blessing of the Father's love that is found. And so in these exhortations to the graces that he gives, that they might be, as we later read it by the Apostle Paul, under the Spirit's anointing and teaching, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That is not a false confidence, but a strong in all that the Lord Jesus is, or all that the Lord God Almighty is, in the Father's love being sweetly revealed, because a soul tremblingly in love and for love's sake keeps his words, seeks not to lose sight or be out of the possession of the sacred truth of the living God. You see how the devil hates that blessed word there, he will keep my words. You see, without the soul being kept in the word of God, without the heart of the Spirit of the Lord upon us to cleave to the word of God, to give that indwelling Spirit that desires that we be ever in God's word, keeping that they should not be far off from us. We should not be blinded by this sinful world and of our own sinful hearts. But the things that are true and right according to God and the word of God are ever near us, to be that living principle that brings us in much humility and needful honesty before God and before man, that he sees everything and we cannot do a secret thing. Oh, may this good cheer for us be this evening, and that we desire to keep then the word, keep the words of Christ. If a man love me, he will keep my words. He will find then to be a keeping word to him. Oh, this word this evening, how we need to be a keeping word to us, and that we would in God's grace then seek to walk in the spirit of it. Where he declares this be of, it is not as if he is saying, well, what is your strength here and what is your power? How can you bring forth something here to help in this matter? That to seek that the grace that he has given might be a magnified grace, an enlarged grace in the exercise of it, as we seek to live in it and humbly pray over it, that the Lord would give us a greater view of himself, the giver of that grace, and the blessing that our soul will be given a cheerful hope and a cheerful faith and a cheerful love. Because often then we find that we are in that spirit where our eye is so afar off, looking inwardly and not outwardly and upwardly, that it is that dispirited spirit of ourself that speaks then low things of that glorious gift of faith, hope and love, in that self-pitying way, as if it is not in the Lord's power to enlarge it and to enliven our hearts by it. And the devil will tell us it is a blessing then for others and of a past time and not in the present. And now he hates the souls in that keeps the Lord's words, it seeks not then to be in that spirit then the Lord Jesus speaks of to his own disciples right down to the end of his ministry. They were to follow him. And of course to seal it in that way when he departed from them, as we read it in Matthew's Gospel, that lo, I am with you all the way even to the end of the world. He is that unchanging one to be with them. And they should never be out of that blessing that he is to be present from the heavens in the earth by the Spirit. Oh, what we're just seeing then, the Holy Ghost laid up in these portions that we have before this expression that he uses. And really, of course, in that 14th chapter is so much of this, be of good cheer. He speaks the fear nots there concerning their pathway, that their hearts then should not be troubled. They had a faith given them of the Lord God Almighty. They believe in God, believe also in me. Let not this hindrance that he was the man, Jesus of Nazareth, as man called him, that he would answer to in his humility, be a great hindrance to them. Because though thought little of by man, he is verily God and verily man. And therefore our hearts are in this word then to believe also in me. And really, of course, is the question at the end of that discourse we read there. And Jesus answered them and said, do ye now believe? There were their words, now we are sure that thou knowest all things. They had much they could say, but they could now see that the Lord possessed and was filled with. That it is not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest forth from God. And do ye now believe? You see what they profess there, it came to me in this way in reading it. By this we believe that thou comest forth from God. The Holy Ghost revelation of the Lord Jesus will ever show us he is the Son of Man and Son of God. The eternal Son of God become the Son of Man. He has come from heaven and as he speaks would return there again. Come again in that set time and way at the last day. But it is to show that all that he speaks and reveals and teaches us by the Spirit is coming forth from God, comes from heaven. And what your soul and mind need exercising in the hearts this evening is in this Spirit and a good cheer that what we believe and trust in has come forth from the Lord. And we only have good cheer because it has come from heaven. If it is some imagined matter from their selves or our circumstances, it will leave us in sorrow. Disappointed at last, we might say we have much cheer in what we can do and what we can think and how we've understood this or that matter, and I do not believe it is as we read it here or there in the Word of God. And how the devil loves to bolster up the spirit of self in things that do not come then from God. But as the dear Lord Jesus Christ was clearly believed of his disciples as coming forth from God, so all that he has spoken comes forth still. And all this doing is coming forth. And that's the seal or mark of heaven upon it. Because it is perfect. It cannot fail. Because it is far above anything else that might be looked upon or trusted in. Then there is a great foundation then for the soul to be of good cheer here. It is something then that it is not natural but it is of the Lord. It is his glory spiritually revealed. Be of good cheer. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, to emphasize that vital truth, by this we believe that they cometh forth from God, where a witnesses would be in their souls. Do ye now believe? Would they walk then in what they have just said? And of course applies exactly to us the same. And do we desire then to be in this spirit then of gracious hope, that though we have many fears in our hearts, things that we would humbly confess before the Lord, that seek not to sink forever in that spirit, but pray God would give us deliverance, a glimpse of this good cheer, the sweet influence of it. For as we view it then as coming forth from God, then it is a great comfort to our hearts. It answers those fears and objections that arise within us. Is it really so? And as we read of it then in the Word of God, then it is to be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart, as the psalmist speaks of it. Trust in the Lord, wait only upon him, and he shall strengthen thine heart. You see, these vital matters then are in the heart. Do not leave then the spirit then of great fear. What the Apostle Paul then was to know under the unction and power of the Holy Ghost teaching him, who himself would not have heard these words uttered by the Lord Jesus as it was amongst these of his dear disciples, and Think of that word in the opening of 2 Timothy, where he writes there to convey that needful spirit of the Lord to his son in the faith, Timothy. But there we read, "For God hath not given us the spirit then of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." God hath not given us the spirit then of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. No, not to be found then with that resting in our doubts or seeking to find marks of grace because we have those things that we fear. Oh, the true fear of the Lord is that works by love. It is of power and of love and of a sound mind. Such thing then is encompassing in every matter. Yes, many are afflicted with many sore things in the mind, but what a blessing for our soul here. "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The devil himself, who is the source of that spirit then of enmity and of evil, who ever goes about deceiving and destroying. Here is the overcoming precious blood of the Lamb of God, the answer then to the poor sinner's great need, which really of course is a good cheer of our Lord Jesus Christ in his word this evening. Oh, the glorious one who says, I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, the dear Saviour, have overcome the world. Here yet before then he had laid in his life and risen again, but what then was known to be done in the eternal counsels of the Lord, the prophesied to be done, could not fail to be done. Stand as firm then as yet to be done, and he would pass through that way and fulfill it all in every perfection, and to give us this overcoming grace and to be all that is needful for our souls, that is resting upon the eternal love of the precious blood of Christ, that his dear people might shelter under the blood and be safe in his one sacrifice, clothed in his glorious perfection, his righteousness, be seen as just and righteous and true by his own glorious person and self. Oh, it is not you that will overcome the world. Yes, we read of it in John's own epistles that we overcome by the faith that is given us. It's an overcoming faith in Christ that does conquer for the soul, and it's a wonderful gift of faith given that is to be of good cheer for us in it. Cheerfulness is in the glorious power of our God then to fight these battles, to answer every condemnation. And as the Apostle Paul later writes, of course, in that letter to the Romans, every accusation, every fear of separation. There can be nothing that will divide the soul and tear it asunder then from the glorious union with the Lamb and through the Lamb of God. Must remain forever firm and true, because he is the conquering one. But those people then amongst that tribe then, is it Dan of old then, or tribe of Gad, that was often much overcome, but they overcome at last, the last. And many things we may find in our lives this evening then that we are feeling they are overcoming us. Dear Hezekiah had it when he cried, Lord, am I pressed, undertake for me. He felt the great weight of those matters inwardly and around him. And were it not then for the wonders of grace, there could be no good cheer. But because of the risen one, whose blood then ever witnesseth, He speaks salvation full and free. I have overcome the world. Dealt with this matter. Feel it to the full in the enmity of sinners against him and the wrath of his Father poured upon him. What agonies in body and soul and spirit the Lord Jesus Christ was to lovingly pass through and to be the enduring one that we read of in Hebrews 12 that is the conquering one. And therefore the Apostle Paul exhorts and encourages us to be of good cheer amidst the chastenings of the Father's love, because there is an afterward that brings a blessed light and a blessing upon what is passed through. A great subjection of the soul to what then is being dealt with us in, that we are not being miserable as it were and full of self-pity because of what then is happening. Wonders we need in grace here then to view the overcoming Saviour's love, who has borne those stripes that we come under the measure of before us, that we might view the rod that is appointed and that we must hear and feel it, as the prophets of old spoke of, hear ye the rod and who hath appointed it, that it is a rod bathed in blood, that it has been met before it hits us and as it were strikes us and brings us low as it must. But the dear Lord Jesus Christ, he has felt the fullness of it. Therefore it bears the blood that has come out of his bruised body. Oh, to be that witness, it brings a blessing then for the soul that he so loves that he must chasten and rebuke. Must turn about, must keep near. Must keep in the spirit then of his words in their heart. They be sure to be in this path of following him. Now, as we read, of course, in the end of this gospel, where Peter is questioning what should this man do concerning John. But as Peter was answered, and it's the Lord's answer to us even this evening, and in being of good cheer, I have overcome the world. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ we have this good cheer, not in what the Lord's leading is in another's life. Yes, it is an encouragement, instruction to us, and we view it as a wonder of God's grace to a poor sinner. But oh, how we are to be kept following then him. And as we have it, of course, by the Holy Ghost revealed to the Apostle Paul, whose faith we are to follow, the following of the faith one another, as that faith then links the soul clearly to Christ, to the power of God for poor sinners, not to follow our faults and our failings, their excuses, though good men may make their excuses and they do have their faults, but let us follow their faith, the thing that God has given them, the very matter that those disciples were speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, that by this we believe that thou comest forth from God, at what we see as the marks of grace, that we covet ourselves, long to be in that same blessing of grace. But it must be personally received, personally upheld, holding our hearts, personally given. And it is, as it were, personally promised in this word. I have overcome the world, all opposition to it, all that would seek to hinder it. He has made this sure and certain way that the soul is to be found with hope. Love and grace is of faith, hope and love together in their hearts, giving them strength and might in the inner man, causing them to be in that path of the Spirit then, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, to take the whole armour of God, and having done all things to stand, to be clad with what the Spirit brings forth, and what we need, the grace of God then to ever have put on us. Oh, it is the all of Christ then that is here to be a good cheer. And in that alone we will find then here the dear Lord Jesus Christ has overcome for us. Oh, it's to view then all that he is and all that he has done, that is to draw our hearts in love to follow him alone. Oh, the Lord bless us in this word this evening. Grant us that grace to walk in it and that feeling power that is in the Lord's word, who declares it, in the world ye shall, whether they live or live godly in Christ, as we read, shall suffer a persecution, shall come the way of tribulation, but on the other hand, in the hand of the Lord, that the devil rages, the Saviour loves and loves forever. The Lord bless the word and forgive what that is amiss. Amen.
Help us to conclude by singing hymn number 595 to Tim Waitland's 771. Hymn number 595. A free grace is a joy of my heart, its glories with wonder I trace. To me it does freely impart rich blessings, just suiting my case. No monster more wretched could be, nor less of God's favour deserve, yet such is free grace unto me, I never, no never can starve. Hymn number 595 to Tim Waitman's 771.
Free.
gracious Lord, we do pray thy forgiving love and mercy to be over all that thou hast seen amiss in our worship this evening. We do pray thy blessing upon thy word. Do seal it with thy power into our hearts, we do beseech of thee. Do watch over us now as we come to part one from another. Do be with us in our journeys as we make from thy house, we pray this evening. And those at home who disconnect from the service, do bless them also where they are found. And be with us each in the night that lies ahead, if it is thy will. Do watch over us in it all, we pray thee. Grant restful sleep in due time. We grant now that thy spirit may be upon us, we pray. Do guide us by thy counsel, and afterward receive us into thy glory. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all forever. Amen.